Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman, remembered by Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Ksubas, Daf Chaf Aleph, the second parak, Aisha Shinis Armala. The Zichud Masechus Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three Daf's we're going to focus on number one. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Shnayim Achosumim Ashtar, Umeis Echomehim. If two people sign on a shtar, and one of them died, we need two people from the Shuk to testify about a signature, and the surviving witness cannot be one of them. If there's only one witness who recognizes the signature of the deceased, Abai said, "Lichtov chasimas yadeh achaspa." Let the surviving witness write his signature on a shard and throw it into Basin, and Basin will verify his signature on the shard so that he will not have to testify about his own signature. Then he and the other person from the shuk can testify about the other signature on the shtar, but he'll be providing only one half of the testimony needed. The Gemara clarifies that he should not write his signature on a scroll, for perhaps a dishonest person will find it and write on it, above the signature, that the person owes him an amount of money. For it was taught in the Mishnah, Otsi Olav Ksav Yado Shu Chayv Olav. If the lender produces a shtar written in the borrower's handwriting that he's chayv a debt to him, Govim Nechasim B'nei Chorim, he collects from property that has no lien. Point to Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Eid V'dayin Mitzarfim, a witness who signed a shtar and a judge who signed the certification can combine to authenticate it. Rashi explains the cases where the shtar brought for collection already has a signed certification of the court, but the borrower is claiming that it's forged. Rami Bar Chama said that this was an excellent teaching, to which Rava replied, what's excellent about it? In fact, it's difficult. For that which the witness testifies, the judge doesn't testify. And that which the judge testifies, the witness is not testifying. Rashi explains that the witness is testifying about the transaction recorded in the shtar, in accordance with the Chachamim's opinion, whereas the judge testifies that the signatures were certified in his presence. Since they're testifying about different things, how can their edus be combined? The Gemara concludes that when Rami Bar Yecheskel came to Babel, he said, do not listen to those rules my brother Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. In order for the shtar to be good, either two edim are needed to substantiate the signatures, or two dayanim are required to testify that the shtar is certified. And point with you, the Gemara revises one of Rav Huna's rulings to teach that if two of the three judges recognize the signatures on the shtar before they write the certification, me'idim b'fanav v'chosim, they may testify before the remaining judge about the signatures and then sign the certification afterwards. The Gemara infers from here, eid na'aseh dayan, that a witness may become a judge in the case where he testified. Rabbi Abba was teaching this when Rav Safa challenged him from the dinim of Rosh Chodesh, for if three people saw the new moon and they're part of Basin, then two of them should be ready to testify, and they should see two of their colleagues with the single remaining judge and testify. Now, if an eid can become a dayan, what's the need to get two other dayanim? Rabbi Abba answered that he also had this question, and he heard in the name of Rav that this does not apply with eid as a chodesh, which is a derisa, but does apply with kiyum hashtaros, the rabbanon, certification of shtaros, which is a derabbanon. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Shnai machasumim ashtar umeis echomehem. If two people sign on a shtar and one of them died, we need two people from the shuk to testify about a signature, and their surviving witness cannot be one of them. If there's only one witness who recognizes the signature of the deceased, Abai said, Lichtov chasimas yadeh achaspa. Let the surviving witness write his signature on a shard and throw it into Basin, and Basin will verify his signature on the shard so that he will not have to testify about his own signature. Then he and the other person from the shuk can testify about the other signature on the shtar, but he'll be providing only one half of the testimony needed. The Gemara clarifies that he should not write his signature on a scroll, for perhaps a dishonest person will find it and write on it, above the signature, that the person owes him an amount of money. For it was taught in the Mishnah, Otsi Olav Ksav Yado Shu Chayv Olav. If the lender produces a shtar written in the borrower's handwriting that he's chayv a debt to him, Govim Nechasim B'nei Chorim, he collects from property that has no lien. Point to Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Eid V'dayin Mitzarfim, a witness who signed a shtar and a judge who signed the certification can combine to authenticate it. Rashi explains the cases where the shtar brought for collection already has a signed certification of the court, but the borrower is claiming that it's forged. Rami Bar Chama said that this was an excellent teaching, to which Rava replied, what's excellent about it? In fact, it's difficult. For that which the witness testifies, the judge doesn't testify. And that which the judge testifies, the witness is not testifying. Rashi explains that the witness is testifying about the transaction recorded in the shtar, in accordance with the Chachamim's opinion, whereas the judge testifies that the signatures were certified in his presence. Since they're testifying about different things, how can their edus be combined? The Gemara concludes that when Rami Bar Yecheskel came to Babel, he said, do not listen to those rules my brother Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. In order for the shtar to be good, either two edim are needed to substantiate the signatures, or two dayanim are required to testify that the shtar is certified. And point with you, the Gemara revises one of Rav Huna's rulings to teach that if two of the three judges recognize the signatures on a shtar before they write the certification, they may testify before the remaining judge about the signatures and then sign the certification afterwards. The Gemara infers from here, Eid Nasa Dayan, that a witness may become a judge in the case where he testified. Rabbi Abba was teaching this when Rav Safa challenged him from the dinim of Rosh Chodesh, for three people saw the new moon and their part of basin. Then two of them should be ready to testify, and they should see two of their colleagues with the single remaining judge and testify. Now, if an eid can become a dayan, what's the need to get two other dayanim? Rabbi Abba answered that he also had this question, and he heard in the name of Rav that this does not apply with eid as a chodesh, which is a deraisa, but does apply with kiyum hashtaros, the rabbanon, certification of shtaros, which is a derabbanan. All right, so now we go to our siman daf chaf aleph, and our standard siman is a car, because Bostonians, people from Boston, pronounce car as ka. So here goes. When the surviving witness drove his ka and tossed a clay shard with a signature on it towards Beis Din, it flew right between an eid and a dayan, who cannot be mitzdarif, and landed in front of two dayanim who were testifying before a third dayan that they recognized the signatures on a shtar. Once again, in slow motion. When the surviving witness drove his ka, that must be more on daf chaf aleph. When the surviving witness drove his ka and tossed the clay shard with the signature on it towards Beis Din, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Shnama Kosumim Ashtar Umeis Echomehem, if two people sign on a shtar and one of them died, we need two people from the shuk to testify about a signature, and the surviving witness cannot be one of them. If there's only one eid who recognizes the signature of the deceased, Abai said, Lichtov Chasimas Yedeh Al Chasba, let the surviving eid write his signature on a shard and throw it into Basin, and Basin will verify his signature on the shard so that he will not have to testify about his own signature. Then he and the other person from the shuk can testify about the other signature on the shtar, for he will be providing only one half of the testimony needed. The Gemara clarifies that he should not write his signature on a scroll, for perhaps a dishonest person will find it and write on it, above the signature, that the person owes him an amount of money. So, when the surviving witness drove his ka and tossed the clay shard with the signature on it towards Beis Din, it flew right between an eid and a dayan, who cannot be mitzdarif, which reminds us, an eid and a dayan cannot be mitzdarif, since the eid, according to the Chachamim, is testifying about the amount of money in the shtar, and the dayan is testifying about its certification. So, when the surviving witness drove his ka and tossed the clay shard with the signature on it towards Beis Din, it flew right between an eid and a dayan, who cannot be mitzdarif, and landed in front of two dayanim who were testifying before a third dayan, that they recognized his signatures on a shtar, which reminds us, the Gemara revises one of Rav Huna's rulings to teach that if two of the three dayanim recognize the signatures on a shtar before they write the certification, mi'idim b'fanav v'chosam, they may testify before the remaining dayan about the signatures and then sign the certification afterwards. The Gemara infers from here, eid nasa dayan, that a witness may become a judge in the case where he testified. This does not apply with eid as a chodesh, which is a deraisa, but does apply with kiyum hashtaros, the rabban, certification of shtaros, which is a derabbanan. So once again, when the surviving witness drove his ka and tossed the clay shard with the signature on it towards Beis Din, it flew right between an eid and a dayan, who cannot be mitzdarif, and landed in front of two dayanim who were testifying before a third dayan that they recognized his signatures on a shtar. All right, so now it's time for four blah ba chazara. Daf Yud Zayin. So the simmer Daf Yud Zayin is a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman. Used car salesman? That must mean we're on Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman who told the chassan that the kala was very beautiful and that he would never lie, which reminds us, we have a malchus beisham beisil regarding ketsa meraknim lifnei hakala. What do we say in the presence of the kala? Do we say the truth or do we say kala na v'chasuda? So the used car salesman who told the chassan that the kala was very beautiful and that he would never lie, and who had a side business selling used shofars at massive levayas, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, mevatim talmud Torah lahutzas ameis achnasas akala, where mevatel talmud Torah to carry the dead out to burial and to accompany a kala to the chuppah. When does this apply? When there are not a sufficient number of people doing so, but when the number of people is sufficient, one may not be mevatel as learning. The Gemara asks, what is considered a sufficient number of people to honor a deceased? And Rav Shmuel Bar Inya said, in the name of Rav, 12,000 men and 6,000 men with shofars for a total of 18,000 people. Other opinions are brought as well. So the used car salesman who told the chassan that the kala was very beautiful and that he would never lie, and who had a side business selling used shofars at massive levayas, didn't realize the kala couldn't be seen behind her hinuma, where she was dozing. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had stated, v'im yesh edim sheyatzas behinuma, that if there are witnesses that the kala went out with a hinuma to indicate that she's a basula, she receives a ksuba of 200 zuz. The Gemara asks, what is a hinuma? Asur Chabar Papa said, in the name of Ze'iri, it's a round canopy of hadasim. Rav Yochanan said, krisit menamna bakalsa. It's a veil in which the bride dozes. Rashi explains that since the eyes are covered by the veil, she sometimes dozes behind it. The term hinuma is related to tenuma, which is Hebrew for slumber. Daf Yud Ches. So the simmer Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah. So here goes. It was an embarrassing moment of the chuppah. Chuppah? That must mean we're on Daf Yud Ches. It was an embarrassing moment at the chuppah when a borrower who borrowed with Eidim tried to pay the chassan back without Eidim, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that the halacha is hamalvas chavero be'edim eno sar chofaro be'edim, that if one borrows from someone in the presence of witnesses, the borrower is not required to repay him in the presence of witnesses. So it was an embarrassing moment at the chuppah when a borrower who borrowed with Eidim tried to pay the chassan back without Eidim. And the chassan said, I lent you more. And the borrower was only modi b'miksas. Which reminds us, Rabba taught me, Mifnei ma'am retorah modi b'miksas satan and yeshava. Why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear that the denial of the other part is true? Chazaka ain't adam me'iz panam b'fnei balchobo, because it's a chazaka, that a person is not brazen enough to deny his obligation in the face of his lender. Therefore, it's possible that the debtor really wished to deny the entire loan, and the reason he did not deny it entirely is only because the person is not brazen enough to deny the entire loan to the face of the lender. Rabba brings another rationale as well. So it was an embarrassing moment of the chuppah when a borrower who borrowed with Eidim tried to pay the chassan back without Eidim. And the chassan said, I lent you more, and the borrower was only modi b'miksas. And then the Eidim suddenly spoke up and said, we were forced with a financial threat, but we're not believed. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that Eidim she'amru ksav yedeinu huzeh, if witnesses come to certify a document, and they say, this is our handwriting, ava anusim hayinu, katanim hayinu, psuli edus hayinu, hari elu ne'amanim, but we were forced to sign, or we were minors when we were signed, or we were unfit to testify, they're believed. Rami Bar Chama said that this applies when they were forced with a threat to their lives, but if they said they were forced with a threat to their finances, they're not believed, because ein adam mesim atzmo rasha, a person cannot establish himself as a rasha. Rashi explains that a witness cannot disqualify himself with a self-incriminating statement, because karv hu etzel atzmo v'karv pasul edus, a person is considered related to himself, and a person cannot testify about his relatives. Daf Yud Tes. So the symbol for Daf Yud Tes is a yacht. So here goes. The famous detective who came on board the yacht, that must be warned off, Yud Tes. The famous detective who came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, or lender, or Eidim shouted the words, Shtar Aman Huzeh, which reminds us, if you'd have said in the name of Rav, Ha'omer Shtar Aman Huzeh, Eino Ne'aman. If one says concerning a loan document, this is a document written on trust, he's not believed. Rashi explains that the loan never took place. Rather, the borrower wrote it and gave it to the lender in anticipation of the loan and trusted that the lender would not try to collect payment unless the loan occurred, but then the lender broke his trust. The Gemara seeks to clarify who said it was a shtar mana. Was it the lova, the malva, or the Eidim? So the famous detective who came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, lender, or Eidim shouted the words shtar mana huzeh and had the cabin searched for shtar amanas, paruas, and pasim, which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, asu lo la'adam shiyasha shtar parua betok beso. It's also for a person referring to a lender to keep a paid-up loan document in his house. As the pasuk says, al tashken bo'holecha avla, let not injustice dwell in your tent. So the famous detective came on board the yacht to figure out if the borrower, lender, or Eidim shouted the words shtar amanu huzeh and had the cabin searched for shtar amanas, paruas, and pasim, was in for a big surprise when two men claimed he coerced someone to sell him his magnifying glass, and although they signed the shtar, declared moda hayu devarenu. Which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Eidim who signed a loan document and later said moda hayu devarenu, our words of testimony were preceded by a notification of non-intent by the owner, they're not believed. Here, though, Eidim testify that before they signed, the seller indicated he was being coerced to sell and did not want the sale to be effective. They signed to help save the seller from the situation. They're not believed because their later testimony cannot invalidate the signed document held by the lender. Marbar Rav Ashi said, in the case of the moda, they are believed. This is because they are permitted to sign such a document to rescue the seller from the buyer's threats. Dav Chaf. So the simmer Dav Chaf is a cafe. So here goes. At the Basting Cafe, that must mean we're on Dav Chaf. At the Basting Cafe, where two women were proudly telling their friends that their ksubas were recently used to authenticate signatures, which reminds us, we do not certify a shtar except from a document that was challenged in Basin and was upheld. Those from the Hardah said that when there is no certified document, we may certify a shtar only from two ksubas, meaning the Eidim had signed two previous ksubas, or from the bill of sale of two fields, provided that their owners harvested from them for 3 years peacefully without any challenges. So at the Basin Cafe, where two women were proudly telling their friends that their exubas were recently used to authenticate signatures, sat a nervous witness reviewing his testimony notes, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa, Kosev Adam Edusa al Hashtar Umeid Aleha Afil Alachar Kamashanim. A person may write his testimony on a document and testify orally from it even many years later. Rav Huna said this applies only where he remembers the testimony on his own. Rashi explains that he remembers in general on his own and only uses the notes to fill in the details. Rabbi Yochanan said, Afo pisha ein zochra me'atzmo. He may testify on even if he does not remember the testimony on his own. So at the Beis Din Cafe, where two women were proudly telling their friends that their exubas were recently used to authenticate signatures, sat a nervous witness reviewing his testimony notes, while his elderly waiter bragged that he could easily remember what happened over 60 years ago. Which reminds us, when Rav Chisda suggests that we can learn from Rav Meir that Edus is remembered for up to 60 years, such as in the case of the tomb status of old mounds outside the Pather city, the Gemara rejects it, saying that in the case of the mound, since it was not incumbent on one person to remember, we suspect people forget after 60 years. But in the case of Edus, since it's incumbent on the aid, he can remember it even after 60 years. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that if Edim say the handwriting on a document is theirs, but they were forced with a financial threat, they're not believed because Ein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha, that's on Daf? Yud Ches. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn that if one aid dies, then the second aid should write his signature on a shard for Basin to certify, and then he'll testify with another aid on the deceased signature, that's on Daf? Chafaf. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you learn that some machlokas of Edim are believed when they say Modahayu Devarenu, which is said when they try to save the seller who was coerced to sell? That's on Daf. Good test. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you learn that if two Dayanim recognize the signatures on the shtar, they may testify before the third Dayan and then certify the shtar? That's on Daf. Chafaf. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you learn when the Torah says a Modah B'Miksas swears? That's on Daf. Yud Ches. Good. Number 6. Which daf with Malchus Beisham Beis Hill regarding Ketz Merakdim Lifnei Akala? That's on Daf. Yud Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf does Gemara seek to clarify who said Shtar Amanu Huzeh? That's on Daf. Yud Ches. Good. Number 8. Which daf when Rabbi Yeshua holds that a woman who was violated is mutter to marry a Kohen when there are two roves, two majorities? That's on Daf. Tezvav. Good. Number 9. Which of the one that Rabbi Yeshua believes in the Migo case when someone says, this field was your father's and I bought it from him? That's on Daf. Tezayin. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we learn that an aide can use notes to help him recall his Edus? That's on Daf. Chaf. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldham Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.